I have another story to tell you today.
Jasmine is doing wonderful at climbing out of her depression. She just turned 8 years old and is learning how to sing. Tonight, Facebook. I love Facebook. Tonight, she's going to be giving me and my husband, Ricky, a little private concert. I cannot wait to hear her joyous singing and her new hobby. Oh, everybody will love that, especially the cousins. Go ahead, dear.
Go on, honey. Sing your song.
But, honey, the doctor said this would get you out of your depression. Now, what song did you choose?
Joni Mitchell's song.
Who?
I think she said a Joni Mitchell song. That's great. That's from our era, baby.
Oh, go ahead, honey. Jasmine, we're waiting. We're going to YouTube it. We've got the video going now. Come on. Let's hear your Joni Mitchell song.
Okay. As before, our love got lost, you said. I am as constant as a northern star, and I said, constantly in the darkness. Where's that? If you want me, I'll be in the bar. On the back of a cartoon coaster. On the blue TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada.
Supper time.
Can you pause?
I can read it later.
This is Pinecone Pete, and we're on a road trip. We're up in Spokane, Washington, with our new friends, Matt, and my old friend, Annette. Annette's 89 years old, and Matt's 14. No, just kidding.
I'm not that old.
Howdy-hoo!
Anyway, Matt is a hunter and a fisherman, which is appropriate for our Trail Mix show because it's an outdoorsy show. And Annette, what do you hunt and fish? Chihuahuas?
I do.
Mm-hmm. And I hunt for just a good time. For a good time.
Ooh, baby.
Matt, what have you been hunting and fishing lately?
Mushrooms.
Restrooms?
Mushrooms.
We all hunt for those. That's nothing new.
Mushrooms.
Oh, mushrooms.
And, of course, fish.
Keech? Fish.
Quiche.
Not quiche.
Quiche.
I was hunting real quiche.
Real man.
Real man don't eat fish.
Real men do eat quiche.
But they don't eat fish.
Well.
And real men don't care what little dime paperback novels say on the cover.
They do not.
So, I just met Matt. I'm going to friend him on Facebook. Annette and I go back about 30 years, don't we? Yeah, back when I was having a nervous breakdown. Life was driving me crazy like it is.
And I was 2 when I met Peter.
Yeah, you were 2. And I was about 15 or something like that. Yep. Yep. And I had a crush on you, which is not...
You did?
Yeah.
What?
I said, that's one cute little 2-year-old.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But a takeaway from those days, that was my very first experience of, you took me to dinner.
Did I?
Yes.
Wow.
And
I don't remember
at Ankeny's at the very top of the Ripeth Hotel.
Really?
And I didn't know what to order because I've never been to a nice restaurant.
Really?
And
well, I don't remember.
And you said, get a steak. And I said, all right, well, I don't know. I didn't even know what a filet mignon was. I was only, 18 years old?
Yeah, and I was 51 or something like that.
Yes,
No, I was 21.
Yes, but you were a man of the world. And you said, said you've got to get the filet mignon. And that is the best steak I've ever had.
Oh, so I did okay on that date.
Yes.
How come you didn't marry me?
Because I never saw you again.
Yeah. I thought, I think I'll continue this nervous breakdown at the Walt Disney Studios. And I moved back to L.A.
How did that work out for you?
What, Disney?
Just the nervous breakdown.
Well, it took about 7 or 8 months. Sometimes it takes a year or two for some people to get through. But I just kind of I wanted to go through the
speed course.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go, I'm sorry, that game where you hit the slide and you go almost, past.
Go and collect $200. Oh, no, that's Monopoly.
Anyway, yeah, and I just said, okay, let's get through this as fast as we can. Let's get to the light at the end of the tunnel. Hmm. And I said, okay, now I'm better.
Aren't you so much better off now?
Oh, I learned from that experience. I almost use my real voice. I'm supposed to be Pinecone Pete. So, I learned to be a stronger person, not put up with bullshit, not be a doormat, although I'm still learning that lesson, as we have both known, through different experiences here. And for some reason, the city of Spokane more than in Pine Mountain Club.
It's Spokane.
Oh, it is Spokane?
It rhymes with cocaine.
Oh, I didn't know that. And there's DJs on Sirius FM, which you listen to for free once in a while because they give you teasers. And they say instead of touring, the band is touring, they say touring.
Oh, dear.
I don't know why. So Spokane and touring.
And doing the washing?
Doing the washing. I had an art teacher in Texas who said washing all the time.
Now wash your hands, students.
It's 4.5 minutes. We can talk a little more, fill up some time. Mm-hmm. Tell us about some of the different types of mushrooms you've gathered, Matt. I just heard a cat.
That's the dog.
Oh, that's a donkey.
By far, my favorite type of mushroom is the morel.
Tell us about it, Matt.
It is ugly and delicious. My favorite way to cook a morel mushroom is very simply with olive oil and salt and pepper, because then you actually get the essence of the mushroom instead of covering it up with cream sauce and all this other crazy stuff.
Exotic spices and stuff.
Yeah, you get some mushrooms.
Mayonnaise.
ice cream.
Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip. A1 steak sauce. Yeah.
Another favorite is the white chanterelle.
It sounds like a wine almost. Like some vineyard in San Jose or something.
Fruity and meaty and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Not your standard chanterelle, but the large white chanterelle.
But there's a hint of orange in them too, which
right,
they're so beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, they're beautiful. Mm-hmm. Morels are ugly, but they're delicious. But chanterelles are just, to me, they're just beautiful.
One of my ex-girlfriends was like that, ugly but delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Ooh. Hard to give it up, even though she treated me like a sponge. Yeah. So tell us about some other mushrooms.
Well, one of the mushrooms I want to learn more about is bolets. It's a large family of mushrooms. It includes the porcini mushroom, as well as slippery jacks and...
Ooh. Ooh. That sounds sexy.
And I think I dated him.
He's a slippery guy.
But they are some of the world's tastiest mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
But as a forager, I'm unfamiliar at this point with what is safe, what is... Just because it's edible doesn't necessarily mean it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. Or if it's delicious, doesn't mean it's edible, I bet.
Exactly.
That's probably true.
I mean, that's how that young feller died in that movie called Into the Wild, if you saw that movie.
I read
the book, too. And he made one deathly mistake. He mistook one plant that was similar to an edible one. And that was his
You have to practice safe mushrooming.
Yes.
Safe foraging.
Right. Always wear a condom.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel kind of funny looking for mushrooms and wearing a condom.
Safe foraging and mushrooming.
But regardless, being out in the woods, picking up delicious edibles is for free.
It's wonderful.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And whenever I go to Jack in the Box, six times out of ten. I just open my door and I'm waiting for my food. And I get free pennies and dimes and nickels sometimes. Sometimes I get lucky and get a quarter.
Mm.
Yeah, free. That's the way I forage.
When I go for a walk in the woods, and I come home with $180 worth of mushrooms, and I sit down and eat them with a nice grilled steak, and maybe some salad.
Without calling me.
Without calling a man who only lives about 15 minutes away, the greedy bastard
probably
that you are.
Probably 25, 30 minutes, but okay, whatever.
Okay, right.
There's just something satisfactory about, one, I gathered my own dinner, and it's tasty and delicious and free.
And free of pesticides and free of all the
industrial complex.
GMOs.
Yeah. And you can have them with steaks, and you can have them with pizzas, and you can have them with, you know, salads and
whatever.
Just a beautiful thing to go gather. And there's the spiritual satisfaction of getting your own. There's the emotional satisfaction of having spent a good day hiking around in the woods.
Oh, of course, and some of the photos you've taken.
Yeah, photos. And
he's a good photographer, ladies and gentlemen, as well. And so is Annette, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Aww, thank you.
There you go.
Don't let him fib to you. Nobody takes photos.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can do to capture the beauty that is nature. I just happen to chance it.
You click and share.
It's a happening.
It's a happening. Very good salad. Now, is this your Matt's recipe, and you changed it a little bit from what I recall?
Well, it's Matt's recipe, probably just from his brilliant mind. And
he's quite a cook.
I
jack of all trades.
Thought I would
jack something.
I thought I would, I don't know, I didn't have enough to complete what we were doing, so I just added to it, so.
But the chicken salad is your recipe. I mean, the chicken sandwich.
The chicken is just, I don't really have very recipes. Good. I just.
Like you said, better than Wendy's.
Well, I just, you know, what do I have and what can I do with what I have? Yes. That's how a lot of things happen in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge recipe follower. So,
well, that's it for this road trip from Spokane. Anything else you want to throw in there before we say goodbye to our listeners? You'll be on the internet in a week or two. I'll give you the link.
I think it was so great to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Yeah.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. I will friend you. And that's going to suggest you as a friend, and I will probably accept the suggestion.
I'll be very suggestive.
And then you
about
will
that.
Be suggestive.
Very suggestive.
Matt will have to accept my, hey, this person's suggesting me. It kind of works that way, doesn't it? It's like a three, douche, douche, douche. Yes. And then final clicks in. And then we can share YouTube videos and funny pictures and pretty pictures and little quips and political rants and raves. I told you, I'm going to be obnoxious till November.
Okay, we're not at the bar, so we're totally fine.
Yeah. So, okay. Should we turn it off? Oh, we were just moving it. Should we get a dog's sniffing? This is a Chico Chihuahua. Look at that, 12 minutes we've recorded. Good God.
He was singing to me earlier. You haven't heard him sing. I don't think you've heard him sing.
Chico was it?
No, Matt does not sing to me.
I do, but when I sing to her, it's always something like Pantalones el oso, sabor como pollo. It's Pantalones el oso, the pants of the bear, sabor como pollo, tastes like chicken.
Her panties taste like chicken.
Like fish, so
I hear some cattle rustling. Okay,
until next time, folks. This is Pinecone Pete, Annie, get your gun, Annette, and Matt, the mushroom man.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bella.
Don't you remember?
Split the praises, you mule hip cayuses. Well, hey there, doggy dreamers. It's that time of the week again, kids. It's that time when all us mountain men, women, and children round up the cattle, get back home, and get ourselves some vittles and lovin'. Woo-wee! Yes, sirree. It's time for Peter Gunther's Trail Mix.
His heart is a feather In all kinds of weather, he sings his cattle call. And he sings with an old western drawl.
Face School, Disco Jesus, Jack Mormon, The Grunge Hour, The Katzenberg Ethic, Felt, Idiot Nephew's Son, Duct Tape in a Row, Phlegm Meets Smegma, Stop the Clock, I'm Starving, Hit the Turkey, His and Herpes, Peach and Herpes, Disco and Datsko, Solomon's Wise Ass, Fish Prick, Satapin, Jack's Brother, Jim Shit, Lawyers Named Todd, Who Dropped You? Those are all more names for rock bands for you people that are having trouble. We're here to give it free, no charge.
That was easy.
Indeed. So anyway, I'm going to do a little bit of, I know.
Oh boy, kids, it's time for audio filler. And this time we're continuing with Gumby for the visually impaired on this audio filler show. Gumby on the Moon, this is part two. Remember 2 weeks ago we heard Gumby on the Moon part one. Gumby is stuck leaning against a tumor-shaped triangle on the moon. It's orange. He's scratching his head. And now the little tumor with eyeballs that pop out starts following him. Remember, Gumby has the little black balls around his waist, so he stays on the moon. Indeed. Now Gumby's approaching another one, and he's smiling. He's totally calm. He's not afraid. He's not worried that he can't breathe. Or that he's away from his parents. And now he's look. The little triangles are trying to talk to Gumby. And he says, They all look like kind of like crabs. They have crab eyes. And they're circling around him. Gumby looks a little worried, but then he smiles. He takes his belt off, throws it away, and ha! He was able to leap over them because he had no gravity, and then he put the belt back on his waist. But what are the parents thinking right now? I think they were still back home. Kind of taking it easy, actually, as we recall. Now, all these little triangle guys are following the Gumby. Once again, there's very little dialogue in these early, early Gumby shows. So that's why we're here trying to describe to you what's happening. Gumby peeks behind a stalactite kind of rock. Oh, there's Mom and Dad.
Yep. He's on the moon, all right. I've got to go after him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's about time those parents got into action. They were looking through a telescope, a child's telescope toy. And now, looks like Gumby's freezing. He's really cold. He's probably dying. He's lonely and sad, and the little triangle guys are no help. Here they come. He puts his, grabs his, okay, back on Earth, the father is in a big fire truck. Now, how can you get a fire truck to the moon? He's looking up at the cookie, the scary cookie. This is a long show, folks. Oh, he's got a fur coat on.
all of a sudden, he looks like an Inuit kind of fellow. He's going up a ladder. I don't see how a several-foot ladder is going to get you to the moon, sir. The moon is creepily smiling. At least we got better audio this time, folks. Oh, no, that was Davy and Goliath that had the very low... Never mind. Gumby's just getting really irritable, and he's throwing his black belt of balls at the little triangles. Now, they're surrounding him. He's inside a crater, and they look like they're coming in. He doesn't know what to think.
It's so cold here. I'm getting stiff.
It's so cold here. I'm getting stiff, he said. He seems to be more concerned about the cold than the strange little triangle guys with the crab eyes coming at him. Oh, my goodness. I have to pause it. Hold on. I have to pause this, folks. The father has probably the longest fire truck ladder I've ever seen, even more so than that television show called Rescue Me with Dennis Leary. Amazing. He has a telescoping ladder from his toy fire truck that reaches all the way from planet Earth all the way up to the moon, and all he has to do is wear a fur coat around his neck, and he's warm enough to rescue his son. This is amazing. I'm totally impressed with the father finally coming through for his son. He's looking all over the moon, trying to find Gumby, nowhere to see him, and he's looking worried. Meanwhile, Gumby's freezing. He's wrapping his snake-like arms around his body, and he's really worried. Gumby says, I'm down here. He smiles. He sees his dad, almost as if he expects his dad to come up on a ladder. Oh, that's weird. No animation there. Kind of holding the ladder. The father.
Come. Behind you.
Look out. It's the little triangle guys with the crab eyes. The father has an aerosol can, and he sprays them with snow dust. Almost looks like he's spraying them with... Uh-oh. Gumby's dead. He has X's on his eyes. That means he's dead. He's too late. The father looks a little worried. He walks over to him, picks him up, kind of like that monster from outer space carrying the girl. He gets him on the ladder. The ladder's going down from the moon all the way to the Earth, and there's a really creepy-looking Saturn in the background smiling. All the planets smile.
I was on the moon.
So was I.
I'm sure glad to be back.
I want to hear that again. Because I was talking over Gumby. This was the most dramatic part of the show. I think this is the end of the whole adventure.
I was on the moon, but I'm sure glad to be back.
There we go. That was it.
Holy Toledo, here's another Gumby adventure.
What did we learn from this adventure? That, I think we learned that even though we may think our parents don't care about us, they actually do. They may be watching television, they may be all wrapped up in their own lives, but once they realize that you haven't come home for supper, they probably figure out, our son must be on the moon, and all they have to do is go out and get a toy fire engine and get a long ladder, go up to the moon while you're half dead, and rescue you from a little triangle man and, freezing temperatures. Neil Armstrong would probably attribute his interest in space travel and stepping on the moon from this early Gumby cartoon, which was made way before he actually stepped on the moon and said those famous words, one small step for man, one giant leap for Gumby land. And that's it for Trail Mix. We are fresh out of time. Thank you for listening. We'll be next week with another jump in the turkey. I have no time to explain.
Hello?
Hello, Georgie.
Oh, hi, Ange.
So, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for all the kindness and the wonderful things that you've helped me bring into my life and for being such a great friend.
Hey, you're welcome. been a real challenge working with you, but certainly worth all the effort.
I love you too, Ange.
You can do it.
He's on the moon, all right. I've got to go after him.
Pantalones celoso, sabor como pollo.
Happy trails to you.